This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 21st, 2019, the fifth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Mary has chosen the good portion. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It is a very familiar passage, and you can hit it from a bunch of different ways. But today, I would like to hit it from the perspective of the liturgy. How the heck do you get liturgy out of Martha and Mary in the dinner? Well, it's easy. Because when we think about what we do when we come to Mass, we have to appreciate the fact that we come to Mass, it's the same exact scene. We come into God's house as opposed to Him coming into ours. We come into His house, we prepare ourselves, and through both the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist, we hear our Lord Jesus Christ, and He does enter into our house, that tabernacle that is our bodies, bringing the body, blood, soul, the divinity of our Savior into that house. This is the scene. So if that's the scene, we can glean in the disposition of the way the sisters approach our Lord in this scene and understand how we should approach the Lord in the liturgy. We've got to set the stage a little bit. I mean, Jesus Christ, if this is conjecture, I always say, if I conjecture something, I'll let you know this conjecture. Our Lord Jesus Christ never walked around by Himself. There were throngs of people around Jesus. His disciples are around Him. You know, all we know for a fact that Jesus is in their home, but I would almost hazard to guess that there are other people with Jesus that have come into their house. There is some preparation that needs to be done. And there's also some conjecture and understanding that Mary herself, it doesn't say that she had been lazy the whole day or anything, but you know, when our Lord first came in, He's probably given the salutations, the greetings here and there. But now He's starting to talk. He's obviously talking. We know that for a fact because it says that Mary quietly sat at His feet and listened to our Lord. This is where we start to have to understand the way it should be when we come into God's house and listen to Him. This has to do with our participation in the Mass. Just the way Martha and Mary participated. There is no rebuke here. There's no rebuke in the way they participated. He doesn't look at Martha and say, you're messing up, Martha. You're a busybody. You're wrong. You have to do what Mary's doing. No, he doesn't. He's not saying that what she's doing isn't necessary. He says that Mary has chosen the better part, the better portion. What is that portion? What was Mary doing when our Lord started to speak? When our Lord started to speak, she got quiet and she sat at His feet and she listened. And our Lord Jesus Christ lauds that. As I said, He doesn't tell Martha what she was doing was wrong. He does point out explicitly that what Mary is doing is better. So what we need to do is glean from this our participation in the holy sacrifice of the Mass in liturgy. These are the foundational understandings of things when it comes to the Mass. I pray God that you don't come in, oh, you know, I like the music, I like the way it looks, I like the use incense. No. There's reasons behind all of those things. Those are what you should appreciate. That's disposition. That's the character that you bring into Mass. This is what we're seeing here. This is what our Lord Jesus is teaching us. He's talking about our participation. Generally, when we hear that word in our day and age, what precedes it? Active participation. Full active participation in the Mass. That's what Vatican II teaches us, active participation. No, it doesn't. If it were active participation, specifically, it would be participatio activa. And that's not what the documents of the Second Council say. It's participatio actuosa. Actuosa is actual participation in the Mass. But when you look at Martha and Mary, it's a no-brainer. Who is more active? Who is more active? Martha. Martha is actively participating in what's going on. She's preparing. She's anxious about this. She's anxious about that. She's active. And our Lord Jesus Christ looked at her and says, "You are troubled by many things. Mary has chosen the better part." Mary's not active. She's just sitting there, listening. Yeah. Active, actual. You can be so busy that you're not actually listening to what our Lord has to say. If you're worried about this, worried about that, and this kind of stuff, this activity, this busyness. You know, let's look at what these women are doing. This is nothing less than a divine instruction as to how to approach our Lord Jesus Christ when he speaks or when you receive him into your house. How was Mary sitting? But Mary, who was sitting at the Lord's feet and listening, she was quiet. Holy silence. Silence is something that is a loss in our society. We live in a busy society, and it's noisy, and there's so much cacophony that it distracts us a lot of time. There are just so. When you come into church, it should be that the noise ceases. It should be quiet. It should be contemplative. It should not be noisy. That shows the vibrancy of our parish. No, it's rude. It's rude for people who are trying to prepare for Mass. It is not anything that has to do with the worship of God. You're socializing. I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm not pointing fingers. No, it's too noisy in here. It's never noisy in here. I go to some parishes and there are signs outside. You're entering a holy place. Holy silence should be observed. Why? Why? It's quiet in here. Even people that visit from other parishes, when you come in here, you're here more than 30 seconds, you get the idea that it's quiet in here. Oh, there are not a lot of people talking. I'm not going to talk. I went to the Sistine Chapel when I went to Rome on pilgrimage. There's the signs. Silence is prohibited here. And you get a bunch of people. St. Peter's, I mean, it's a Sistine Chapel. There's going to be a bunch of people. A lot of them aren't even Christians. So you're going to have a little, but I mean, even they're respectful, the little buzz. You would think, oh, that's distracting. What's more distracting is when the cops go, "Silencio! Silence!" Thanks, guy. Appreciate that. Silence. Silence. It's a good thing. I give commercials every now and then on really good books. Robert Cardinal Sarah. Love him. Awesome. Last year, year and a half ago, published a book, The Power of Silence. He addresses this. Read that book. He's a lot more articulate. He's got a lot more authority than I do. He's a cardinal. Read his book on the power of silence. We've lost that. And our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that Mary, who is sitting at the Lord's feet silently, has the better portion. Not people who are walking around being busy. Again, he doesn't say it's bad to be busy. He just says that being quiet is better. We've lost sight of this fact. There are a lot of places where it is presented that active participation means business. You got to be doing something, moving around, saying something. You need to come up in front of the people and be the cantor and go, oh, like this, when they do their, you know, all that kind of good stuff. That's active participation. It's active participation when you bring up the offerings. How's that active, really, if you think about it? It'd take all of two people to bring up the offerings in this parish. Look at everyone's actively participating because these two people get to bring up the offering. No. No, it's not busy work. It's not just doing things. It's not just action. This is not, that's your opinion. No, it's not. This is the opinion, for instance, of someone like Pope Benedict XVI. Pope Benedict XVI, and when he speaks to the liturgy, particularly when he speaks to the liturgy in what Vatican II says that active participation, like I said, it does not. It says actual participation. But active participation, that's what they meant. It's the spirit of the council. You know what? Benedict XVI, the consummate, arguably one of the consummate theologians of the 20th century, a profoundly adept liturgist who was at the Second Vatican Council, who was participating in all of the discussions as a paratus, a advisor to one of the German bishops. So he was there. He knows the stuff. He knows what was said. He knows what was meant. And Pope Benedict XVI says this: very quickly, active participation was misunderstood to mean something external, entailing a need for general activity, as many people as possible, as often as possible, should be visibly engaged in action. So someone who was there, who knows their stuff about liturgy, that's not what they meant. They did not mean busy work. They meant actual participation. This whole concept that this is a Second Vatican Council thing. Yeah, before, people weren't actively engaged in the Mass. That's a ridiculous, ignorant statement. And I don't mean ignorant pejoratively. I mean ignorant in what its definition is, lack of understanding. That is a ridiculous, ignorant perspective on the old Mass. It was not actual participation is not a Vatican II thing. Vatican II started in 1962. There was an instruction that was promulgated by the church from the Congregation of Rites at the time. It was about sacred music, generally speaking, but when it starts out, it speaks to the foundation of the Mass itself. And it was written in 1958. Do the math. 1958, this, 1962, the council. Okay? 4 years before the council. And this instruction says, the Mass of its nature requires that all those present participate in it. This participation must be primarily interior, but the participation of those present becomes fuller if to internal attention is joined external participation, expressed by external actions, such as the position of the body, genuflecting, standing, sitting, kneeling, ceremonial gestures, the sign of the cross, or in particular, the responses to prayers and singing. Perfect actual participation, finally, is obtained when there is added sacramental participation by communion. 1958. Not only are we talking actual interior participation, we are talking about external manifestations, active participation. I always get a kick out of the fact that people who are all into active participation in the Mass, they attend a Mass where actions and activities such as bowing the head at the divine name of Jesus Christ, or the Blessed Virgin Mary, or the Holy Father, that is an action. It's activity. We don't do that anymore. During the Nicene Creed, the Incarnatus Est, the Word became flesh. we genuflect. That's an action. That's an activity. Why don't we do that anymore? Well, I don't mean that kind of activity, not those kind of things that would, you know, manifest our reverence to God. I want to bring up the offerings. That's what I want to do. That's active participation. Or it's active participation if I hold my hands a certain way during Mass, or if I hold hands with the person next to me during the Lord, that's active participation. That's ridiculous. It actually whittled away active participation. Bodily gestures in Mass. Everything that we do in Mass is for a reason. Everything. The way we stand, the way we sit, the way we kneel, when we do it. It's a manifestation, or should be, of our internal, our interior dispositions for that certain thing. Not all of them. I'm not saying all the churches out there. Many churches, particularly newer ones, there are no kneelers. There's no kneelers. Some of them, well, they have them in the back if you want them. What does that tell you? That there's no time when everybody in the church kneels. An action, an activity. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. I want to do other things. I want to be a Eucharistic minister. Because the priest shouldn't be the only one up there with his consecrated hands touching the body of our Lord. Everybody should be able to do that. These are why the things are going on now. There's this, as Pope Benedict XVI says, this misunderstanding about what is to be going on in Mass. Some of the stuff doesn't have anything to do with Mass. Our Lord Jesus Christ looks at Martha and he said, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There are many things that should be anxious and troubling toward people in Mass. Hey, I don't want to beat the dead horse with the noise thing. Everybody in here, almost to a man, has come from other parishes. You know what it's like there, as far as the noise goes. Okay? As I said, it does not show the vibrancy of the parish. It's rude and disrespectful and irreverent. Okay? That's what it is, objectively. Things that don't have any part in Mass. Introductions. It's summertime. Is it? I got this went out of the steps this morning. Last week I was at this place, and that's exactly what they. Hey, who's visiting here today? Stand up. So where are you from? Where are you from? Clap, 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 clap. Hold that thought. What does that have to do with the worship of the living God? Nothing. Nothing. It's a social activity. That's why we have parish halls. I'll be more than happy to sit over there with you for hours and talk about where you're from and tell you about how I visited there and stuff. This, bad grammar, ain't the place for it. All right? It has nothing to do with the Mass. Clapping, said, hold the thought. Again, gotta love him. Cardinal Ratzinger. Anywhere that clapping erupts in the church because of a human activity, the essence of the liturgy has disappeared. Think about the essence of the liturgy. Its essential being is gone away when there's clapping at Mass. Because why? Because every time you hear clapping, it is for a human endeavor. This person, these group, these ordinands. No, God is blessing those ordinands with the ordination of the priesthood. You don't need your applause. God doesn't need your applause because he called men to the ministry. The essence of the liturgy has disappeared in those places. This is probably the most prominent place. And this is near and dear to my heart because I hear it so very, very often from folks who visit here occasionally. I've actually had people question the Catholicity of this parish over this one. I'm not sure if that's a Catholic map because you didn't do the sign of peace. Were you not paying attention? Because there's this whole time when I turn around and go, the peace of the Lord be always with you. And you actively respond, and with thy spirit. If I don't do the sign of peace, I'm in big trouble because it's an integral part of the Mass and always has been. So why do they say, you didn't do the sign of peace? Oh, you don't mean pandemonium didn't break out in my parish and people didn't pew jump and walk around and slap backs and do this and all this other kind of stuff. You know, it would be funny if that didn't happen. I see it all the time. I went to a wedding one time and the bride turned around and did it to everybody. When our Lord Jesus Christ speaks about the peace, he says, I leave you my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. And what do? We turn around and go, okay, all of you in the most mundane signs that you could possibly think of, share the supernatural peace. I was reading a commentary by a priest yesterday that we all become instruments of God's peace when we do that one to another. No, you don't. They're all in Mass too. Everybody's cool. You're not an instrument. You're an instrument of peace out there. Not in here. You know, in newsflash, folks that love the sign of peace like that, it did not exist ever. It was not a thing until the 1970s. I'm older than that. There are a lot of people in here that are. That's how new it is. Am I sitting here saying, shouldn't do it, it's sinful? No. Huh. I'm saying the way it's done in a lot of places, really pushing the issue. But the sign of peace is always there. When the Father turns around and says, the peace of the Lord be always with you. An action. The peace of the Lord be your response. An action. Actual, and also with you. Or with thy spirit. Look at that. I went to the old days. This is what we have to appreciate. This is the reality of things. Actual participation doesn't mean busy work. I read that about from the Congregation of Rites, and the way they sum everything up, because they're trying to teach people about the liturgy, and it said, deliberate actual participation is not possible without adequate instruction. People have to be adequately instructed. Because of the state of affairs nowadays, in every Mass, if there's any possible way I can bring in something about the liturgy, this is why the Church has always done this. That's a catechetical. The Mass in and of itself is not catechetical. But we do learn things from the presentation of the faith. And I always try to work it in. That's why I'm on this hobby horse today. Because it's so important. And you can glean from Martha and Mary the way we should approach God in the Mass. You have to be instructed. Pope Benedict XVI, like I said, gotta love him. This is heavy. Pope Benedict XVI says that it has come to the point where, and I quote, the liturgical formation of priests and the laity has reached a deplorable state. When he wrote that, the man was he was in charge of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, the theological watchdogs of the Church. He's got his finger on the pulse. He knows what's going on. And he says that priests and the laity, their liturgical formation is deplorable. What can we do? Because it's the priests who are supposed to be teaching the laity, and if their formation is deplorable, that's a tremendously in-your-face word. That's why some of our parishioners get from clerics outside, I can't believe you go there. Some of them actually, you're not supposed to go there. And a lot of the criticism is, I can't believe you want to do the old Mass where people aren't actively participating. For one thing, our Mass is the newest Mass on the face of this planet. Pope Francis' signature is in the cover of our Missal. He's the one that probably, that's how new it is. We got the newest Mass going, and people look at it and go, that's the old Mass. No, it just has the necessary continuity with the old Mass. It's very new, but grounded in the deposit of faith. A lot of people don't like it. We by the Mass. This is where we are spiritualized. The Mass is what changes us, not just the reception, first and foremost, yes, the reception of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior, but the Mass in and of itself, what you hear, what you do, what you see, it spiritualizes you, or should, if you are actually participating in the Mass. Pope St. Leo the Great, in his ordination rite, which is still in the ordination rites in so many words, he used to tell the ordinands, the new priests, he would say, do in practice what you do in the liturgy. The same applies to every single person that is in the priesthood of believers. What you do in practice, you do in practice in the world, how you live your life, what you do in the liturgy. The application of liturgy to everyday life is a sign of actual participation. Because if you're actually participating, you will walk away with something. You can't help but to do so. Subtle little things, like I said, what you see, what you hear, the bowing of the head at the Holy Name. If you get into the habit, because the priest is required to do that in the traditional liturgy, to bow his head at the Holy Name, or at the name of the Holy Father, the Blessed Virgin Mary. He's required to bow his head. A lot of people, many people, do that here. That's a good habit, because that will negate things like when you have to go to confession, I use the Lord's name in vain because it's a habit. Well, it becomes a whole lot less a habit when you hear or say the divine name, you bow your head, as opposed to spontaneously throwing something out. That's how it spiritualizes you. The custody of your eyes. I don't know if you ever know. I kind of like this part of Mass because it's the only time I get to look at people. Yeah, is when I'm doing the homily. It's the only time I get to look at people. Because every other time, there are rules. Always have been. Not anymore. Rules in the Mass for the priest. If you celebrate Mass, your eyes are either one of two things, closed or downcast with your head. That means your head is up and your eyes are looking down. When I turn around, I say, check it out. If you want to sit up closer, you can see us up there. The Lord be with you. I'm looking at the floor. Those have always been the rules. Because why? It teaches people the custody of the eyes. You know, custody of your eyes starts in Mass. I always like this one. Father, I saw this person this, dress like this, do this. I hardly ever respond like this, but the first thought in my mind is if you were paying attention to do what you're doing and had custody of your eyes, you would never seen that. You're telling on somebody else and you got a spiritual problem. This is where we learn these kind of things. This is where we find Jesus Christ, just like Mary. Just like Mary, who sat at his feet quietly and listened and learned. We don't know everything. We constantly are learning. And when we constantly learn, we apply it. And as we apply it, then we find Jesus Christ everywhere. St. Jose Maria Escriva says this. He says, we must find our Lord Jesus Christ in ordinary everyday life, or else we will never find him. We are to spiritualize everything. When you go buy a car, you should be praying about it. That's a big outlay of your budget and money. Do I need that kind of car? Do I not? As opposed to, oh, that's super awesome. I love that color. Who prays before they go buy a car? I hope several of you. And I hope after hearing that, next time you do it, maybe I should. Everything. We find Jesus Christ and we spiritualize everything. It starts here. It starts in the Mass. It doesn't start by busy work, doing this, holding your hands this way, performing this function, wearing this, saying that. It doesn't start with that. It starts with actual participation. And a lot of that is just being quiet and listening, because finding Jesus Christ starts in the Mass. We go out there, we spiritualize everything if we have actually truly participated in the Mass. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.